Our message this morning is found in
1 Corinthians chapter 12, through verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And God, I pray this morning that our worship is honor you. And God, that we would hear your word. God, that we would apply your word and we would live it out, God. We would live it out as individual believers. We would live it out as a community, God. And God, I ask that you would bless us. God, I ask that I communicate clear with clarity. They would hear with clarity, God, any distraction, anything that would pull hearts and minds away, God, that you would take that away now, God. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in the 12th verse. For even as the body is one, and yet many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more present members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members of the body have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've entitled the message this morning, Diversity and Unity in the Church. I'd like to talk about America for a little bit, and I think it'll help illustrate Paul's point. And I'm talking about America's how it was meant to be from its founders. So on the day that America declared its independence from Great Britain, the Continental Congress tasked three of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, with creating the first seal of the United States. While the seal they proposed ultimately was not adapted, the motto emblazoned thereupon, the unofficial motto of America, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. This motto appears on our money, passports, and the seals for all three branches of government. It reveals the ideal of diversity of opinion and people is inherent in America's true foundation. And its greatest strength and most unifying characteristic, the one thing almost all Americans have in common, is that none are from here originally. The rich diversity leads to a deeper, more profound appreciation for the principles upon which America was founded. Free speech, religious liberty, and equality. People worldwide come to America because the rights enshrined in the Constitution protect them. too often. People confuse unity with uniformity. That is a superficial and simple-minded interpretation of unity. Homogeneity is not the same as unity. While similar people may work together for a common goal, research has repeatedly shown that diverse people working together yield even better results. It's true in athletics, it's true in business, and it's true in the military. It's true in the church. It seems that diversity and unity are two sides of the same coin. Unity is not the absence of diversity. And God uses different members and different gifts to build his one church. So I think one of the things that Paul is highlighting here with the Corinthians, and I think it's re important to remember that when we're reading this, it seems like what is Paul talking about? He's talking about members of the body. He's talking about hands and feet, eyes and ears, and other members. He's talking about actually later on, we're going to talk about there's less honorable members that are not seen, and he's talking about sexual organs and stuff, things of this nature. And we're like, Paul, where are you going with this? But we have to remember back to the beginning part of chapter 12, where Paul is talking about the variety of spiritual gifts. And remember that the Corinthians are actually struggling because they have this preference and overuse of speaking in tongues. And Paul says that all of these gifts are meant to be for the church. All of them should be in existence to build up the local church. And so now he uses an analogy of the human body, okay, to refer to the Corinthian church. This isn't the first time he's used an analogy. So I think one of the first points to realize is that diversity is essential for the church, okay? Diversity is essential for the church. Verse 12 says, "For even as the body is one, it yet has many members. And all the members of the body, though they are many, they are one body. So also is Christ." Okay. And when he talks about so also is Christ, he's referring to the body of Christ. It's just a short form. He's not just saying that, that there's like a three gods or something in the Trinity, because he's not even re referencing it. But when he says Christ, he's referring to the body of Christ. And so one of the things we need to figure out is diversity is not the opposite of unity. Okay. A lot of times we think, oh, there's diversity. What diversity is Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the diversity of spiritual gifts that are at work in the church. He talks about, the different giftings of speaking in tongues. And here we go. Going back, he says there's a word of wisdom, there's a word of knowledge, there's this spiritual gift of faith, gifts of healing. Okay, gifts of effecting miracles, gifts of prophecy, gifts of distinguishing spirits, gifts of different kinds of tongues, and then the gift of interpreting tongues. All of these are diversity in the local church. Okay, but not only is he talking about the diversity of these different gifts, he's talking about the diversity of people. Because the Corinthians have this socio-economic struggle, okay, where if you go back and you look at how they were abusing in the Lord's Supper, they were abusing the wealthy, were abusing the less fortunate members. And so Paul, he tells them earlier, and then he's going to tell them again that there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no slave, there is no free. That all of these people are part of the body of Christ and they make it up. So there's a diversity in the church. Now it's interesting, Paul's very clear that the work of the Spirit, here in Corinth, the work of the Spirit should bring about unity, okay? But for the Corinthians, the work of the Spirit actually caused disunity. Not because that was the intent of what God was doing, But it's that fallenness that is present in each and every one of us. And so a lot of times in our fallenness, we can take things that God intends for good and we can twist them and make them terrible things. We can twist them and make them not good. We see this time and time again, that there's people who we do it with race, we do it with other things. Just to make it even practical, you may have someone who's just has a natural gift of serving. It's just what they do, and they don't mind serving others. They don't mind doing things for other people. And this is a God-given, innate gift that is put inside of them to serve and to work for the betterment of others. But what we will do in our fallenness is we'll take advantage of that. Okay? We will let them do more for us than we should. We may not say thank you. We may not be a blessing to them back. We may not appreciate the gift that God has provided. And so the Corinthians, in their attempt to be spirit people, in their attempt of speaking in tongues, this love for speaking in tongues, and this that we are people of the Spirit, and that because we are people of the Spirit, it almost gives them a superiority mindset that it causes disunity in the local church, not realizing that Paul had taught them that these gifts were meant for the edification, for the building up of one another, for the local church. It was helping them to be the alternative to the world around them. But I think it's, we get really caught up in unity in modern times, especially in the modern church. And we try really hard to make things unify, okay? So let me point out here, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Okay? Unity is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When we try to force unity by our own actions as human beings, we don't actually achieve the unity that the Holy Spirit intends. Verse 14, it says, "For one body is, for the body is not one member, but many." And so, again, highlighting this, Paul, it's interesting. Paul highlights the diversity. In modern times, we tend to highlight the unity of that Paul's saying. But Paul's saying, no, there is diversity. But in that diversity, there comes unity. Now, it's interesting that the word university is the combination of the word diversity and unity. That's where university comes from. And the idea is that you're going to learn all of these diverse things in while you're attending university, and you're going to study these various disciplines. You may take math, you may take English, you may take philosophy, you may take history, you may take religion. But all of it is to incorporate and to make you a learner and to help you study and learn and prepare for whatever career you're doing. So there's unity, there's this diversity within unity. But for Christians, this can only take place by the Holy Spirit. When it talks about being baptized into one body, it's not talking about baptism. It's not talking about water baptism where you go get dunked in the water. Now, what he's saying is baptized into one body, that we are being made into one body through the Holy Spirit. And Paul kind of throws this down the gauntlet of saying that only through the work of the Spirit is unity possible out of a diverse church, diverse in its giftings, diverse in its people. The second thing Paul points out is diversity is essential for spiritual gifts. So Paul's going to talk about diversity in kind of two ways. He's going to talk about it from spiritual gifts perspective, but he's also going to talk about it for people. So the church needs all of the spiritual gift. No gift is greater than the other. Now, Paul's not, He does not mention spiritual gifts particularly in this passage, but again, go back to the beginning of chapter 12, and Paul very specifically talks about spiritual gifts, and he's using this analogy of body to illustrate the point of it. Verse 15 says, the foot says, I am not a hand. And that is, since I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not a part of the body. But Paul's saying, no. Just because your foot, you're not a hand, that doesn't make you any less part of the body. Let me rephrase it. Oh, because you have the gift of speaking in tongue, or you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, but maybe your gift is one of faith. That doesn't mean because God is works through you and gifted you in the service to have faith. And that maybe you don't have tongues, that it makes you any less valuable. Or if someone who is, maybe they have God gifts, prophecy, and so they can bring forth prophetic words in the local church or to encourage and build up. And you're like, well, maybe I really want to have the gift of prophecy. I want to move in that, because sometimes for whatever reason, we want to move in that. Sometimes it's selfish. We want to be the one up front. We want to be seen. Other people don't want to be seen. And they're like, God, please don't give me the gift of prophecy, because I don't want to move in front. I don't want to speak to other people. Paul saying, hey, just because you're not something doesn't mean you're not valuable. Because you don't practice a certain gift, or God has not gifted you yet at this time, doesn't make you any less valuable. It's interesting. He starts off with the two most extremities, hands and feet. Then he goes on, verse 16, and he says, the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. Again, he's just kind of repeating what he did in chapter or verse 15. Then he says, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? What he's saying is, if we all did the same thing, it would be a monstrosity. If the whole body was just an ear, it would be weird, because you couldn't see, you couldn't smell, you couldn't move around. You would just be an ear just laying there, and all you could do is actually hear. And it would be a bit of a monstrosity. And Paul's saying, hey, we cannot just have one gift operating in the church. And this is what the Corinthians are doing, is they've been just speaking in tongues, but Paul's saying, you have all of these variety of gifts to be used in the church. Use them. Otherwise, your services become a monstrosity. It becomes something that it's not meant to. It becomes unbalanced and healthy. And we know that God wants us to live a balanced and healthy life. We cannot grow as individuals. Imagine if you only ate one food all the time. What would that do for you? One of the things that I remember a couple of years ago, we went to Fort Snelling. And they were saying that one of the things that early settlers in Minnesota is they ate corn almost in every meal, because they could take the cornmeal and grind it down, and they could eat cornmeal all throughout the year. Well, what it did is actually caused health problems, because they were unhealthy. They didn't get protein. They didn't get other vegetables. All they did is really ate cornmeal all the time, and it created several health issues within early settling community here in Minnesota. It was unbalanced. And in the same way, if you only have a devotional life and you only read scripture, but you never pray, or you never spend time with other Christians, you don't go out and share your faith, you would become an unhealthy Christian. You might know the word. You might know what it says, but you're not having that communication with God. You're not spending time with other Christians being built up. Or what if you decide, well, I'm just going to be a person of prayer, and you don't actually spend time in the Word? How do you know that what you think you're hearing from God is actually accurate and true? Or I'm not going to read or pray. I'm just going to go to church, and that's how I'm going to get it filled. No, all of these things are part of a healthy Christian life. And this is what Paul's telling them, is that diversity is essential with spiritual gifts because each one is needed to be part of the whole. Verse 18 says, "But now God has placed the members, each one in them, just as he desired." He's saying God has given you all these different spiritual gifts. He's given you the word of wisdom, okay? He's given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And there's a word of wisdom back in verse 8. There's a word of knowledge. Verse 9, there's faith. Then there's the gift of healing. Verse 10, there's the effecting of miracles, and then the gift of prophecy and distinguishing of spirits. Then there's various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All of that was given. God put it there specifically. Not me, not you, not the intellectual or the super spiritual in Corinth. God put those gifts there to build his church and to build his people. So God is the giver of spiritual gifts. Why? To build his church, to build us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us. The third thing, I think that Paul is saying that diversity is essential for believers. Diversity is essential for believers. Verse 21, again, he goes on using this analogy. And let me point out that Paul is using an analogy, and it's a bit of an imperfect analogy, but it's really missing when we say, oh, Paul's being imperfect in his analogy. It's missing the point. Paul is trying to demonstrate that these giftings and people are necessary for the whole of the church. Don't start reading in this allegorically. Oh, this person's an eye, or I'm an ear, or this person's a weaker member. That's not what Paul is trying to. He's not telling us to go out and identify weaker members or stronger members or eyes or ears in our church. He's just saying, hey, here's the analogy to help you understand what I'm trying to communicate. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now he's not talking about spiritual gifts per se. He's talking, I think, about spiritual gifts as well as individuals. You can't have a member of the church go to another member and say, oh, by the way, you're not as influential. You're not as smart. You're not as good looking. You're not as spiritual as us. Therefore, we don't need you. You're weaker. You're not as spiritual. You're not as strong. Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues. And so they would tell them, we don't need you. Now that surprises us as modern people. We don't even know if that's what the Corinthians do, but he's trying to highlight the point that no believer is greater than another. No believer is greater than another. That includes for those, if you go get a PhD in theology or a PhD in New Testament or Old Testament, and you think, oh, that person is, they're really rooted in the Word. They've studied the Word of God in a way that most of us will never study it. That does not make them greater. Because someone is ordained a pastor does not make them greater, does not make them more spiritual. Okay? Because you spent 2 hours a day praying and fasting and just spending time in the Word does not make you greater than others. You may be more spiritual, but does not make you greater in God's kingdom. Not what Paul's trying to say here. Verse 20 says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. Your eye's pretty weak. Okay, your arm can get poked pretty hard with a stick. Your eye would not get poked very well with a stick. Okay, there's just certain parts of your body that are much more sensitive than other body parts of the body, and there are some of us in Christ that are much more sensitive. Okay, doesn't necessarily mean weaker. Okay, you may have someone who is very, they're a very emotive or emotional person. Okay.
That does not make them, oh, a lot of times we tend to look at people who are very, oh, they're overly emotional. But what if God has created that emotion within that person and they're just a worshiper and they love God and they connect in a way with a God that doesn't, we don't always do, but it may encourage us to dig into worship and to take part of worship. Oftentimes, some of those people like that, they can hear the voice of God like others don't. Or maybe someone, you got Sister Joan who sits in the back pew and it doesn't look like Sister Joan does. She's not Bible college educated. She's not ordained. She doesn't do much. She's still an important part. Each of us has a role in the local body. Each of us plays a part. This is why it's later on, the writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling together of God's people. Why do we not want to forsake the assembling together of God's people? Because we bring our giftings, we bring our talents, we bring something. You may just be someone who, you know what? You just love on people. You smile and you greet them. You may not speak an encouraging word. You may not give a prophetic utterance to them. You may not give a gift. You may not give a message in tongues or an interpretation, but that smile, that hug can be the encouragement that gets them through that tough time. Verse 23, Paul talks about the members which are less honorable. On these we bestow abundant honor. He's talking about the sexual organs there. And the less presentable members become much more presentable. Verse 24, whereas we presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed our body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked. Verse 25, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. There shouldn't be division in all of our diversity that God created, the diversity of these different gifts, the diversity of our personalities. Okay. And I'm not, so when I talk about diversity, I'm not talking about that just you can just show up and believe anything. Okay. If you have heretical theology, you've got bad theology, that is not acceptable and it needs to be dealt with. Okay. That you have ungodly practices, that you are just not living right. That needs to be addressed. It should be fixed. Okay. And so I'm not just saying, hey, just everything, just it's just, you know, any opinion goes and we're okay with that. God's no, God's not okay with that. Okay. But that diversity that he talks about is that some of us have some, we've been created uniquely. We're from different races, we're different tribes, we're different people, we have different giftings, and God wants to use all of that to build his local church. There should not be any division. We should be working to the same goal. You ever see you see these videos where they got like at night they got these different they've got like 150 drones up flying in the sky, right? And those 150 drones, when you look at them, they light up. And it looks like, you know, they've got like where like they've got things flying or they've like they create flowers and different stuff. When you look at it, it looks like one thing. But would you find out there's 100, 150 drones all flying to make these different images in the night sky? Well, and it's kind of the same way for the church. We are all have to work for the same purpose. We can be different. They don't have to all be the same drones. Now they have to have lights and certain things, but there's things that we do that we're building a church. Why? First off, we want to honor and worship God, okay? We want to build one another up. But remember, Paul's telling the Corinthians that you are the alternative to the city around you. And the only way that you can be the alternative is by properly functioning in these diverse gifts and being who God has called you to be. So God uses each of us to build his church. And it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When we see our brother and sister in Christ and they are down and they are beaten, okay? In the same way, if a hand becomes injured, it affects the whole body. Okay. If the leg no longer works properly, it affects the whole body. You begin to walk differently. You begin to limp. It affects your back. Okay. If your dominant hand is affected, let's say you hit it with a hammer, you can no longer use it. Eating now becomes more difficult. If you lose an eye, your eyesight is no longer as good. And in the same way, in the body of Christ, when Jeremiah is not here, we have to find someone else to do sound. Or when someone's not here, you're missing out on a hug or a gift or whatever it is that God has put in them to use, the body is affected by it. But also, there's times when we see things they do, there's members in the body, they do things well, and they're encouraged and strengthened, and we should rejoice with them because we're part of that body. This is our brother and sister in Christ, and we should rejoice with them. So, the big idea this morning is that our diversity becomes unity because of the Holy Spirit. Not because of anything that I've done or anything that you do. Now, let me rephrase it. It is stuff that we do, okay? It's that we're living out God. We are living out godly lives. We are led of the Spirit. But it is not our plans. It is not our purposes. It is the work of the Spirit that brings about this unity out of our diversity. And diversity doesn't mean that we're exactly the same, because that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. It's not, you just can't all speak in tongues. There has to be different things. So diversity and unity are different sides of the same coin. It's the same coin. They're different. But it's what joins us together is the Holy Spirit. Unity can only be accomplished through the Spirit. It's not what I do. It's not what you do. It comes about through the work of the Holy Spirit, working through his people, working together to build up one another, to worship God together, to be the example to the world around us. So here's a question for you. Is our diversity a source of pride? Or is it a tool to build God's kingdom? Is our diversity, the things that make us different, does that become a source of pride for us and bring disunity? I speak in tongues more than all of you. Therefore, I'm more spiritual. That's pride, okay? That's bringing about disunity. That's not unifying the church. Or all of a sudden, we as human beings, we're good at finding differences. We have the black church, we have the white church, we have the Hispanic church. Now we have Republican churches and Democrat churches, and we find all kinds of ways to divide. And we become very proud about these differences. But in these differences, when they become a source of pride, it causes disunity in the body. You look at why do people not want to come to church in America? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but a lot of it is the church does not work together to build the kingdom of God. So is our diversity, is your diversity the thing that makes you unique? The spiritual gifts that God has given you, the person who you are, does that become a source of pride, or is it a tool to build God's kingdom? Are the things that God has given you, are you using it to building this kingdom? Are you letting the Holy Spirit lead you? Or do you become proud about it? Well, God has gifted me this way, and now I'm better than everyone. Or we probably don't even articulate that we're better, but the church could not function without me. The church couldn't do this without me. Without my gift, it couldn't do this. Or my way of doing it is better. No. Be led of the Spirit. That you can be a tool, that we can be a tool to build God's church, to effect worship that honors God, to be the alternative to the world around us. Our diversity becomes unity only because of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I just thank you that in our diversity, God, the things that make us unique, the giftings that you've given us, God, it is all for a purpose to glorify you, to build your church, to be an example of the world around us. God, and help us that our diversity, our tools for unity and for your glory and to build your church, God, to speak to us now, touch us now, God. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.